A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, Tim and Guy here, and welcome to The Worst Idea of All Time, Season 5.
This season, we are watching the French-originated softcore pornography series, Emmanuel.
Because why not?
These films contain some anachronistic and downright problematic scenes from time to time,
which we will not be discussing to keep our podcast a stupid and friendly place to be.
Also, you do not need to watch these films, as always, so just enjoy the show.
We're watching the movies, so you don't have to. Happy listening, everybody.
Hello and welcome to the first episode of a brand new season of Sexual Exploits.
That's right.
And film.
Oh come, Emmanuel. As I once sang at the chapel of the Anglican school that I spent my formative years from 5 to 18.
Let's do a slight retrospective and take stock. The year is 2014 and the month of February. Guy Montgomery has just been fired from TV because they pulled the channel that he was working at off the air.
I wasn't fired.
That's the biggest version of fired there could be. You did so poorly at your job that they torpedoed the entire station.
Yeah, I guess. The network remained.
I guess nothing. That's what happened. These are facts. This is on the historical record. You can check it on Wikipedia.
Fucking lay it on me, bro.
So, what happens next? Tim and Guy, who had struck up a pretty plucky friendship through the course of that show, with Tim coming in to review public restrooms a la the Loo Review on every Monday evening, plugging it like it still exists. It's been gone for 6 years.
Check it out on YouTube. Got to get those views up.
So we were like, we want to do something. And that thing was the worst idea of all time. Grown Ups 2, 52 times, week after week, we did it.
Sex in the City 2, 52 times, week after week, we did it. We are your friends.
60 times?
Because you're a fuck.
Yeah, we did it.
Sex in the City 1, or Sex in the City, the movie, 52 times. We did it. Home Alone 3, as the world looked on from quarantine, 10 times?
That feels right to me.
We did it. An emergency season.
Cats, 7 times in 7 days. We did it.
Dr. Doolittle, 3 times, 1 day, 1 cinema.
We did it.
Did it.
And now we turn our attention to the Emmanuel series.
It's a series of French softcore pornography films that I was introduced to as a teen on a channel called Sky One, which is Sky was like our shitty primitive version of pay-per-view, which has grown into a proper version of cable television. But this was back in the days of these very hokey consoles. There was a card that had to be plugged in for it to work. The remote was very unresponsive.
Famously terrible remotes.
Very scary stuff. So every Friday at midnight, Sky One used to have these after midnight screenings of various different softcore pornography franchises. If you were lucky, you'd have a Sky console in your house and everyone in your house would go to bed around 10, 10:30, 11 p.m. If you were somewhat lucky but less lucky, you'd have a friend with a console who would organise sleepovers on Friday and hopefully everyone in their house would go to bed around 10, 10:30 p.m.
Cannot stress this enough. This was not pre-internet days, but this was at a time when we were dealing with dial-up modems.
the ways that people were consuming their pornography,
hiding
magazines
in a park.
I remember at one point this would have been in the early days of the internet, of my relationship with the internet. We, of course, you know, we had the family computer. Everyone had to be out of the house for you to use the family computer for your disgusting nefarious deeds.
The family computer, what a concept.
And I remember, truly what a concept. How's everyone going to get what they need out of that one computer?
I know.
If people got to have their own computers.
It could do a lot less back then, though, as well.
But I played a game of Tetris where I would control, you know, I love Tetris. I used to play it on my Game Boy. Tetris Blast. And I turned my hand to the pornographic world of Tetris, where if you cleared all the lines, then a sort of pixelated version of a semi-nude lady would render itself.
Where the shit did you get that?
Crispy HD. I mean, God knows what sort of weird 8-bit pornography sites I was poking around.
That's insane.
This to be how I wet my toes in the waters of sexuality. But it was this working in tandem with these after midnight screenings of, there was another one called The Switch or The Remote or Click or something, where there was a remote.
Click's the Adam Sandler thing.
Well, yeah, I vividly remember masturbating to that furiously.
We all do.
But there was another friend.
We all remember masturbating.
It was disgusting. There was a remote that controlled the sexual impulses of one of the characters. Emmanuel was a softer French version of a pornography franchise. This is not penetrative pornography. This is very artful, almost tasteful.
I think it got less so. We've just watched the first one.
1974, I believe, is the year of release.
77? I thought it said it on the very legal way we watched the movie in the synopsis.
No, this is 1974.
Oh, very big your pardon.
Well, because the other film that we were legally trying to watch legally
was the third one.
Yeah, which was 1970, and that's set it in the. So this was we watched the first film in the Emmanuel franchise, directed by a French director whose name is, and I'm not kidding, Just Jacquin. Yeah. And
too good.
It is a film about a young French woman whose husband works for some sort of French embassy in Bangkok, Thailand. She travels. It's not explicitly clear the purpose of the travel, whether or not it's specifically to see him or to travel to Bangkok and have her sexual horizons opened and explored. It has a 90-minute and 34-second runtime, and
on the whole, pretty great movie.
It's quite fun to watch.
Fun to watch because it had a lot of cool, like, 70s stuff in it. Like, really cool old music.
Yeah, beautiful music. Also,
Soft focused.
Soft.
Kind of that sort of Vass on the lens glow that I think we're going to see for a lot of these movies, where everything looks just a little bit kind of,
it was
nice and
sort
glazed.
Of dripping in sexy nostalgia for a time I don't remember and a place I have not been.
Sensuality.
But in essence, Emmanuel travels to meet her beautiful and horny French husband, who he sort of purports to be all about open sexuality and, you know, love is pleasure and we must continue to explore the depths of pleasure.
He's
to
a
truly
bit of a hedonist.
Realize our love.
I thought he was 50. And she announces that he's 32, and I am 32, and I took it as a real personal
affront.
Well,
of course. You're not, you know, spearheading some sort of open-minded sexual exploit, you know, carnival at a French embassy in Bangkok.
I'm not. That has a certain look to it. It takes years off
you. Yeah, you're in a fucking podcast studio in Greyland, Auckland, New Zealand with me, having watched a softcore pornography.
And these soft hands haven't had.
At the crisp time of 10:30 a.m. on a Thursday morning.
Yeah.
So I suppose analysis of the film is, you know, it's a pressing issue. It's essentially what brings us together as we journey through this franchise.
Yeah, we're going to watch all of these. There's 50 or so. It's a lot.
They're
it's a lot
all,
of Emmanuels.
They're not
and
all,
I wonder, is it like Bond, where it's kind of all called Emmanuel and the lead is Emmanuel, but they don't necessarily stitched together perfectly.
But it's almost exactly like that. But I believe that the franchise is pared off or pared down and taken to America. And so while they're technically canon Emmanuel films, the further along you go,
they're shitter.
I happen to know that the franchise makes it into space.
Yes.
I don't know what language they speak in space, but I imagine that there'll be some Americanized versions of the franchise. I actually was just in researching this in Italy. They were such fans of the film that they wanted to capitalize on the international popularity of it by making a similar product that could be made cheaply. And to navigate copyright, they created a series called Black Emmanuel and changed the spelling of Emmanuel.
Oh.
And then also there was a British... do you know there's a parody of this movie?
No.
So there's a long-standing film series called the Carry On franchise, which are these British comedy pictures. They made 31 of them from 1958 to 1992. So after the Bond films, this is the second longest running series of British films that have been created. And they made a Carry On Emmanuel film, which has been widely regarded as one of the worst movies ever.
It's quite hard to do a parody of a softcore porn. Do you know? Okay. Here's a question. This movie that we've just watched, would you describe it as an erotic film or as softcore pornography? Because I would actually say that this film is erotica. It's got a storyline, and people are good at acting, and there's lots of good technical elements of filmmaking all brought together.
What's the storyline?
Hero's journey of a young woman named Emmanuel expanding her sexual horizons through a series of, at times, anachronistic and outdated methods, which we now would clearly identify as bad and wrong, but also taking some confidence and gusto into the whole affair herself and leading the charge.
She throws herself...
Passion a lot of woman, plan a lot of squash, figuring out what you can eat in Thailand, get on a boat, chuck some pho in your face, hook up with an archaeologist who is a woman.
Yeah, she throws herself into the waters of sexual exploration with admirable gusto. And I mean, I understand what you're saying. I struggle to... Maybe it is erotica. I mean, there's beyond a character exploring their own sexuality through a variety of sex scenes, there is no other storyline, you know. So in that respect, I think it might be softcore pornography, because the express purpose of the story is to put Emmanuel in as many situations as possible for her to enjoy her sexuality.
Yeah, but I don't think that's what pornography is. Is
what you're designed to...
It's something pornographic. Yeah, it's something designed to jerk off to, or flip your bean to, or whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
But this I feel like isn't that. It provides opportunities for you to jack it if you wish. Gentleman's choice.
But I suppose the difference is that once you've finished jacking it,
yeah,
instead of closing the laptop screen and shivering in shame,
you
continue to watch the film for the story, which I'll personally say, last time I watched a pornographic video, I did not stick around to see how things shook out.
Well, you did
after
this time,
I was finished.
Which I think makes it erotica. I wanted to know what happened to her, like what was going to happen with her and her husband. So it starts with her and her husband, and then there's a selection of women who are sort of almost debutantes. There's French women who live in Bangkok, and they just sort of lay about not doing a lot, and that really irks Emmanuel. She sort of has the desire to fill her time and her days with something else, something with a bit of meaning, a bit of adventure. And so off the back of that, she kind of goes out and seeks out something else. And her husband, I think, puts her in touch with a selection of other women. And then eventually her path crosses with this guy whose name I never captured, but he's sort of
Mario.
Older gentleman. That's right. Yeah, old guy. Not a gentleman guy. He makes two young Thai boys beat the shit out of each other, and then the victor gets to have sex with Emmanuel because suddenly she's like his ward for about a third of the movie.
He essentially sort of marches her around the...
It's very 50 Shades of Grey, I think, having not seen or read any of that franchise.
It's pretty gnarly. He marches her around the back streets of Bangkok, sort of under the banner of helping her realize the full extent of her sexuality. This guy's against monogamy. He thinks you've got to cast aside your idea of couples.
But that's just a French thing.
He keeps saying that a third person has to be introduced with force. Mm. He's insistent.
I don't fully know what that means either.
I am afraid that I might, and it's disagreeable in the most high.
But I feel like they do it at the end, and all three people seem to be there by choice, not force.
Yeah,
maybe I wasn't paying close enough attention.
He
takes her to an opium den. That was fun.
Yeah, he takes her to an opium den where he sort of...
Then it gets not fun.
He gets her high on opium. And then
it ends not fun.
In my limited research I've done between watching the film and recording this, which was about half a minute on the Wikipedia page, there was not outcry, but this has been analysed by feminist scholars, this text.
Oh, wow, really?
It represents something more than just a skin flick. Like, this is a...
This is what I'm saying. It's erotica.
Well, this was a commercial success, this film.
It spawned like 49 sequels. Must have been a success.
Underneath box office, it says it made $11.5 million in the United States. Like, Roger Ebert reviewed this movie.
Wow.
This is how the movie was released, was beyond just being a porno. It was this is a movie.
Yeah.
It also, under box office, has listed 8,893,996 admissions in France.
Cool. Tickets sold, I guess. 8 million tickets sold. Just in France. How many people are in France in the 70s? That's awesome.
It sounds like a lot of them.
That's twice the population of New Zealand.
They're heading down to the cinema.
Just to see Emmanuel.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
What I like about this movie as well is that the actor portraying Emmanuel is undeniably good looking, very attractive woman, but she's constantly, just like the movie at every turn, has to tell you how unworldly beautiful she is.
Yes, this film is populated by beautiful people. But Emmanuel in particular is singled out for her beauty. Essentially, anyone who comes across Emmanuel has an overwhelming desire to bed her. And she, in turn, the relationship, there's some sort of point of contention between her and her husband, where her husband says, hey, I'm a cool guy. I'm a cool guy.
I got a mustache. I'm 32 years old. Yeah. And I look like I'm 50, but very debonair.
My wife fucks who she wants. I fuck who I want. And we're both adults. We're both totally cool about it. And
he drives a possibly MG midget, which is painted the wrong color. It's like a puke lime.
It's not a puke lime. It's a sort of it's not puke lime, it's lime. I like that car. I'd drive that car. I got a mustache. I'm about to turn 32.
It's a cool car, but it's the wrong color, is all I'm saying.
All I'm saying is the color is why the car is so cool.
Okay.
Anyway, there's a point of contention where he says, hey, I do what I want, you do what we want, we're both cool.
I do what I want, you do what we want.
Yeah. And eventually, Emmanuel takes him up on this and sort of pulling at these loose threads of sexuality and wanting to find herself and have an experience. She runs off with this woman who is, when she's first introduced to what Tim describes as debutantes, this sort of bevy of beautiful French women who I believe are cast as the husbands of various different French emissaries who live in Bangkok.
Yeah.
There's one on the other side of the pool. And Emmanuel says, who's that? And one of them says, that's B.
That's B.
We don't talk to B. And Emmanuel is...
She's not part of our group.
Yeah. She's drawn to B. And eventually, her and B, her first genuine expression of freedom in Bangkok is instead of returning to the house as she does every night for dinner with her husband, her and B, she's like realizing herself within the freedom. She says, hey, I'm free to do what I want. And she goes away with B, who's an archaeologist, the only working woman in the group. And they go to her site of archaeology, which appears to be building a house somewhere out in the sticks of Bangkok.
Yeah.
And instead of letting B do her job, she seduces her. And they have...
It's a very, like, Christmas Jones version of being a archaeologist, if you are familiar with the
Bond
films. Yeah,
I understand that the archaeology unions were absolutely up in arms upon the release of Emmanuel for...
They felt misrepresented, and I don't think they've been as cross as that until Indiana Jones came out, and they went, we do not use whips, it would break the stuff we're trying to find.
Something we don't do is we don't just allow anyone to come into our sites and seduce us.
Yeah.
And we don't use whips.
We don't use whips. We use guns. It's the 90s, or 80s. Well, in this case, it's the 70s. And today.
But when she is finally exploring her freedom, the husband who's presented himself as being quite a cool, open-minded guy all of a sudden gets quite terse and he's frustrated. He's upset. But then he almost does some growth in exploring and realizes it's unreasonable of him. And when she comes back to go on this sort of getaway overnight with B, who she's sort of, Emmanuel's become quite obsessed with, she blows off a date with this older sort of figure, Mario. And Mario shows up. We don't see this. It's explained. Mario shows up to the house when she's gone and the husband sees him and goes, she's not here. Mario goes, oh, damn. And he goes, it's okay. Come back another time when she's here. And so she returns from her affair with B, where she falls in love with B within a night, and B says, I like you, which means I don't want to hurt you, but it means I don't love you. And Emmanuel is humiliated, and she returns home, and her husband says, hey, I know what you need. You need to go out with this fucking guy, Mario. He knows. And then she does, and that's when we get to the already described scene of Mario sort of ushering Emmanuel through the back streets of Bangkok, taking her to an opium den, taking her to dinner, to Thai boxing.
What do you think of squash?
I want to play it.
Yeah.
I want to play it in the way I imagine it's played,
it's portrayed in a very particular way in this film.
Yeah, I want to play it the way that we play, like the way that people in normal society play squash, which is two rackets, a ball, a scoring system that's all in place. And I also wouldn't mind playing the version represented in Emmanuel, which is two beautiful French women fingering each other on the court.
What else is depicted in the film? We've got squash, we've got driving, Thai boxing.
Yeah.
Looks quite crazy. They had these big gloves, big huge gloves like a Rock'em Sock'em robot. Or do you remember those toys when we were kids where you could get those big inflatable gloves and beat the shit out of each other?
Yeah,
had them, but I always wanted them.
Those toys. Aren't they just gloves?
No, they're like inflatable gloves. You blow them up and they were
massive,
like as big as your head.
Oh, okay.
Would they hurt more or less?
I was wondering that. That seems more dangerous than just boxing gloves.
Yeah, I think you could be right on that.
Is this what you remembered from the snatches of watching pornography as a child?
This was way better.
Is that because you're more mature and so you're watching it with a more open mind than just wanting to see a glimpse of nipple, a touch of pubis?
I reckon I was watching the space ones, maybe. Mm. Or the later ones. Maybe not the space ones exactly. But this one, like, undeniably problematic content within, and that actually seems like a not strong enough word for some of the scenes that are in here, but there's like two or three things that are definitely very bad and across the line, but the rest of it is I think quite like tastefully done. The whole thing's in French, which maybe just elevates any film to have the entire thing in French.
I'm a softer critic on foreign language films because if people are speaking in English, yeah, I can be as judgmental of their performance as I like because I understand it. But if they're speaking in a foreign language and I'm reading the subtitles, in general, it will loosen my analysis. Like, it's harder to know whether or not there's a duff delivery on a line in a language you don't speak.
I guess that's true, but acting isn't just talking. Mario's, I bought it.
Oh, you bought Mario?
I bought Mario.
I enjoyed the performance of Emmanuel.
Yeah, she was very good too.
She's played by a woman named Sylvia Crystal, who is a Dutch actor and is best known for her role within the Emmanuel franchise.
Yeah, I would expect that to be true.
She went on to star in, how many of these? A lot.
It is like the Bond thing. She probably took out the most. She is the Sean Connery.
I know. She's best remembered as the eponymous character in 5 of the 7 Emmanuel films.
5 of the 7? Right. So this is before it starts spinning off and branching out and getting all freaky-deaky.
So there's 7 of these French ones. And I also know from my limited research that just Jacquin hands over the directorial reins to a friend of his. He didn't want to become the director of the Emmanuel franchise, and so he hands over to someone who he's obviously approved as being capable of continuing to realize his vision. I want to know about the continuity of the franchise. I want to know if Emmanuel's the same, is the husband the same?
I would love to know if we get visits from minor characters coming through in the other movies. Does Mario pop back up in the background of plots for the future ones? Maybe he's in space and he gets trapped outside because he's working on the paneling and the lock freezes up and he can't get back in the ship and he dies out there and everyone's grieving and they get real fucking horny because they hold a little funeral for him.
People grieve in interesting ways.
Yes, they do. We're confusing animals, we is.
I'd like to introduce a segment I've just thought of.
Yeah.
Boner Patrol.
Okay.
Any boners?
Not from me.
Neither. There's almost a whisper of a boner at one point on the plane. But
we got to talk about the plane. First of all, can I say I hate this segment? Second of all, let's talk about this first class experience.
I'm not going to ask you why you hate the segment because I have 50 opportunities to do that as the podcast moves forward. So the plane sequences, I mean, again, it's sort of like these people are just constantly throwing themselves at Emmanuel and push it like. I feel like she traveled to Bangkok not for the express purpose of exploring her sexuality, but upon arrival, the cast of characters she meets all impress upon her the importance of exploring her sexuality. And there's a young woman from the group of French debutantes named Ange Marie, and she immediately takes a liking to Emmanuel.
She loves lollipops,
Emmanuel.
And she loves to fuck.
Yeah. Emmanuel is skinny dipping in the pool. Ange Marie sees this. She takes her clothes off. She goes skinny dipping in the pool. She swims up to Emmanuel. She says, I'm going to visit you tomorrow afternoon. And Emmanuel says, okay. And then she arrives. They get to talking. And out of nowhere, really, Ange Marie just starts masturbating. And she says, do you like to touch yourself? And yeah. Emmanuel says,
yes, but not now.
Yeah.
And then she does anyway.
Yeah. And then Ange Marie says, have you really not cheated on your husband? And she says, I said I haven't cheated on my husband in Paris.
And then I love that.
She's sort of like, she sort of gently places her hand upon her thigh. And then all of a sudden we're cast back into this dream sequence where she's flying on this very lush, spacious first class plane seat, and there's a very comely gentleman who's sitting, you know, in the row in front of to the left, and they keep making eyes at each other, and she goes and gets a blanket and she pulls the small blanket to cover herself, and she pulls it all the way up to just beneath her eye line and exposes her bare legs and sort of keeps looking at him like, ho-ho. And then this guy's like, oh, I know what's happening here. And
I get this. I understand.
Without
this is.
Pausing, without any consideration for the other passengers who have paid a pretty penny to be flying first class, they just begin fucking.
Now,
then and
this
there.
This is something that I got wrong about what the Mile High Club was, because my reckoning with it was that you had sex inside of a toilet, usually somewhere that's cut off, or maybe if you were an air hostess you had access to some sort of area, or if you're cabin crew, not gender specific, you had access to some areas that other people didn't. I did not realize that if you're in first class, you just fuck on the seat in front of everyone else in first
class.
Yeah,
you pay for the rights.
The rich are different from you and I.
Absolutely.
They act different, they fuck different, and they fly different.
They do fuck different. One thing I will observe about softcore pornography, we've got to close the sort of airline experience because there's a whole other subset of sex that happens in first class.
Mm.
But one thing I've observed in this film is that softcore pornography does not care for the ordinary physics of penetrative sex.
No.
Every scene in which it's suggested sex is happening, it's impossible to look at without thinking, there's no way that penis is hitting that vagina.
That's good storytelling, though, because it means you can kind of get better angles of everything else.
Yes.
Like, you can get people of different heights and
but
their heads can be
also,
at the same place,
it
you know?
It opens the exciting possibility that the version of sex and the reason that all of these people are on a constant quest for sex in this movie
is they're not actually
all of them
sex.
Are virgins.
Yeah.
None of them have figured out how to do it. And they just keep slapping the pubic bone above everyone's genitalia into
you
one
know,
another.
I think there's a lot of evidence to support that in this movie.
Waiting
a lot of facial expressions that do not match up with what I would observe as what an orgasm looks like when it's happening.
It's
more like sweat. It's like being sweaty and being annoyed by a mosquito for an extended period, and then the mosquito leaves.
It's like they're thinking about what it would be like to reach the throes of ecstasy while instead being like, why doesn't this feel as good as I want it to?
While Mario's thrusting his penis into a belly button.
Yeah, so anyway, we've got this gentleman comes over and Emmanuel and him just absolutely dry hump the shit out of each other on a plane. And then there's another guy at the back of the plane who's watching this happen thinking, that's not how you have sex. I know how you have sex. And after Emmanuel and the first gentleman have finished, he walks up to Emmanuel as she dozes in a sort of frustrated, not quite post-coital, you know, faux nap, lifts her up, takes her to the bathroom, and then performs his version of dry humping in a bathroom.
Different, but also wrong.
And then that entire reminisce ends as we come back to the present day, and Emmanuel sits opposite Ange Marie, and they've both sort of masturbated themselves into a stupor.
Oh, she's fallen asleep, hasn't she?
And they're just sleeping.
It's a nice day with a little breeze going through in Bangkok in their hut.
Yeah.
That they're staying in. It's a gorgeous scenario that they've,
The locations are very lush. Like, the film is beautiful. It's beautifully shot. The people who populate the film are beautiful. And it all flows together. It's not a painful watching experience. I mean, you know, God knows what direction this franchise will take us in. God knows why we're exploring the entirety of a softcore pornography franchise.
Only time will tell.
I literally only remember in passing from skimming through Sky One pornographies after midnight Friday.
Time will tell. If you had to give this movie a score out of 715, what would you give it?
600? It's pretty generous. It's too high.
About right.
It's too high, but you know, what about we score
585.
Yeah, I mean, congratulations to the first entry into the Emmanuel franchise. So there's seven of this original block, which are canon. And from there, God knows what little tributaries and, you know, branches of this particular version of softcore pornography we're going to be launched into. But it's very exciting to be here on the Emmanuel train. And so concludes the first episode of O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. Is that what we're calling it?
Absolutely not.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.